Good evening. It's good to be here with you tonight, sing songs of praise to our God and to study a portion of His Word. If you would like to open up to Proverbs chapter 4, we'll begin there in a second. The title of the lesson tonight is On What Are You Building Your Life? Now, we know in this life there are many things that people put their faith in, that people build their lives by, and that people live their lives by. There are pleasures of the world, there are riches, there are cares and things that we put our faith in, that we live our lives by. And we know that if you're not living your life by faith in Christ, if you're not living your life by the Word of God, that you are in the wrong and that it's not wise to live your life by anything but the Bible. And it's not wise to put your faith in anything but Christ and His Word. And we know that wisdom is principal when we decide to follow Christ. In Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 9, we read of wisdom. It says, "Get wisdom, get understanding." This is in verse 5 of Proverbs 4. "Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you." So we see we have security in wisdom. If we have wisdom, we have all these things that will come into our lives. We will prosper if we have wisdom. If you would turn to James chapter 3. We read here of two types of wisdom. There's the earthly wisdom, and then there's wisdom from God, wisdom from above. And we need to make sure that when we're seeking wisdom, and when we're gaining wisdom, that we're gaining that good wisdom, that wisdom from God, that wisdom from above. In James 3, in verse 13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace by those who make peace." So we see the differences in the wisdom of the world and the wisdom from above here in this text. If you would turn to Matthew 7, we see here a contrast between foolishness and wisdom. We all know this teaching of Christ, this story, that this example that He shows. The little kids sing a song in Bible class sometimes about it, and we read about it and we hear about it, and we're all familiar with this. If you would begin with me in verse 24 of chapter 7 in Matthew. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So we see the contrast in the wisdom and foolishness, and that we need to place our trust and our foundation should be Christ, our faith in Him. Now, the foolish man built his house on the sand. He built his house on a foundation that was not firm, that washed away with the elements, with the wind and the rain and the flood. And we know that because of that, his house fell. If you would turn to James chapter 4. James 4. We know that here in James 4, it talks about knowing what is good and knowing what we should do and then not doing it. In verse 17, it says, "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." So we have this knowledge of what is the foundation we should build our lives on. And of course, that is Christ, that is his teaching. And as Christians, we should always look to build our lives on that. That should be our entire focus and what we have our faith in. And we know that since we know this, and if we do not do it, it is sin to us. If you would turn to Luke 8. Luke chapter 8. In verse 14, this is the parable of the sower being explained. And in verse 14, we read of the seed that fell among the thorns. It says, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." So we hear the word, and there are those that go into the world, those that... instead of staying away from the cares and the pleasures of this life that are worldly and detrimental to our faith, they are conformed to that instead of Christ, and they fall away. We should stay away from the cares and the pleasures of this life. We should cling to Christ. Often people build their lives on different things that are not helpful to their faith, that are not helpful to their lives. And one of these things is rebellion. You would turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We read here of Saul being rejected as king. And in verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15, it says, "So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king.'" So if we reject the word of the Lord, if we reject Christ's teachings, we are in rebellion to him. Every time we sin against Christ, every time we sin against the Lord, that is us being in rebellion. We are rebelling against him. And we should not be in rebellion to Christ, for he is the one that can save us. He is the one that can truly give us happiness and get us to heaven. If you would turn to Galatians chapter 1. Chapter 1 in Galatians. We read of those who are turning away from the gospel in which they have received. They have received this good news, the news that can save, and yet they've turned away from it. They've rebelled against the teaching. Galatians 1 and verse 6, it says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." There are those out there that will put things in our head, that will give us as many things they can to make us doubt the word of Christ and the teaching in the Bible. We need to ignore those things. We need to cling to what is good and be diligent in our studies so that we can see that coming. We can see that false teaching. We can see those things that are perverting the gospel. Another thing people build their lives on that is no good is ignorance. In Ephesians it says, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We need to understand what the teachings of Christ are, what we are commanded to do. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And when we do not, we are ignorant in that. And ignorance is something that is a product of our lack of desire and our lack of will to please God and to know what he wants us to do to please him. If you would turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We read here of the Sadducees questioning Jesus, trying to get him to slip up, maybe make a contradiction in his teaching. Beginning in verse 23 of Matthew 22, says, "The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, 'Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died and after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her.' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that it was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.'" So we see here that they're ignorant of what Christ's teaching of the resurrection was. They didn't know, and they questioned the Lord. And he calls them out on it, that they are mistaken not knowing the scriptures. We have something that they didn't have back then, the complete and entire canon, the complete entire scriptures that are inspired by God and given to us for instruction so that we may know what to do to please him. And there's no excuse for ignorance, because we have what we need right here in front of us, and we should be diligent in studying that. If you would turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And in verse 18, we're reading of the new man. And let's start in verse 17. It says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Because of their ignorance, they've done all these things. Because they are lacking in a desire to know the scriptures, to know the teachings of Christ, and to know what to do to be a good Christian, to please God. And because of their ignorance, they've fallen away. If you would continue reading with me in verse 20, it says, But have you not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." A lot of times when we talk about this new man that we put on, and that this old man that we do away with, we talk about the sins, our past practices, our past desires, and that we're a new man now, and we want to do what is good and refrain from what is bad. We also need to remember that in our past life, before we were Christians, we were ignorant of a lot of things. And when you become a Christian, you're still ignorant of a lot of things. But that's part of being a Christian. That's part of growing. We must be diligent. Ignorance is not an excuse. And it's our fault that we are ignorant, because we need to be diligent, as it says in 1 and 2 Timothy, to study the Word, to make ourselves approved of God. If you would turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, and beginning in verse 13, says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" It says here, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. We know what is right. We know what we should be doing as Christians, because we have the scripture. We have the teaching, and we have what we need, the tools we need to be a good Christian. And ignorance is not an excuse. In Leviticus, it says, if a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. I've heard from people that I've talked to about spiritual things that, what about the person who has never been taught anything from the Bible, who it's not his fault, he doesn't know any of these things, he doesn't know what he's doing is wrong, what about him? Well, as I just read here in Leviticus, that although he does not know it, he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Ignorance is not an excuse. We have the Bible, we have the complete scripture, and we need to make sure we understand it and gain that wisdom and gain that understanding so we know what to do to please the Lord. Another thing that people build their lives on is apathy. If you would turn to Zephaniah 1 and verse 12. It says, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil." There are times when we might get into the flow of things and not have any emotion. We don't really care what we're doing. We're just doing it to be seen by men. Or maybe we just don't care. We've just fallen into the swing of things. We're going through the motions. And that's not something that's going to save us. That's not something that will get us to heaven. We must have that understanding that this is what the Lord wants us to do, because this is what's right. And we must have that emotion and that desire to do these things to please the Lord. If you would turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And here at the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 45, we read of a faithful servant and an evil servant. In Matthew 24. In verse 45, it says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over the household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We need to be ready. We need to always be ready for the coming of Christ. We need not to be growing weary and falling away from the truth because it seems like it's been so long. Jesus is coming soon. Well, I've been alive 20 years. That's a blink of an eye. It's no time. It's not time to grow weary and to think that the Lord is delaying his coming, that he is not coming quickly. We don't need to get that in our minds. We don't need to fool ourselves that we have all the time in the world, because Christ could come tomorrow, and we need to be ready for this. If you would turn to Romans 12. Romans 12. We read about the behavior of a Christian, what a Christian should be behaving like. Romans 12 and verse 9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." Here we see it says fervent in spirit. We should have that desire. We should be fervent. It's not something that is without emotion, without meaning. These aren't things that we can check off of a list as we serve our Christian lives and say, here's a check, we've done this, and we can go on to the next thing. We must be into it. We must have our hearts in this. We must have our hearts in worship to the Lord and not just go through the motions. In Galatians we read, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." let us not grow weary. What we're doing now, what we continue to do every Lord's Day, and when we get together on Wednesdays for our weekly Bible study, and as we study in our homes, as we pray to God, let us not grow weary. For what we're doing is good. What we're doing will help us get to heaven, and we will have that reward if we continue doing so. If you would turn to Matthew 15, another thing that people build their lives on is ritualism. Matthew 15, beginning in verse 1, says, "Then the scribes and Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." But you say, "Whoever says to his father or mother, "Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God," then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." He calls them hypocrites. They come to him and honor him with their mouth. They praise him with their lips. Yet their heart is far from them. We need to check ourselves. We need to make sure we're not doing what we're doing every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time we pray to God, that it is not just a tradition of being a Christian. These are not rituals. These are things that we are commanded to do. And we should always mean them when we do them. We should have emotion. We should want to do these things. And everything we do here is very important. We should not fall under that category of being a hypocrite. We should always have our minds fully set on the things above and on Christ. If you would turn to Amos 5. In verse 21. Amos 5 and 21. Says, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream." It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter if we're going through the motions and we appear to men that we are doing what is right, that we are faithful Christians in full service to God. If we are doing them in vain, if we are doing them without meaning, and we're just doing them to be seen by men, we are hypocrites, and what we're doing is not pleasing to the Lord. It's in vain. We need to make sure we don't fall under that category. We're not just coming here to please each other, although it is uplifting, and it's something that is commanded not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, that we lift each other up, we do good in coming for each other, but we're not here just for us. We're here to praise God, to praise the Lord, and we should not fall under that ritualism, that tradition, that going through the motions. We should always be full emotion. We should be emotional in our praise to God. Another thing that falls under this category of building your life on something that is like the sand and the foolish man is building your life on feelings. In Proverbs it says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." Don't trust in your feelings. That's very dangerous, because maybe you might have something that you like, something that pleases you, something that sounds good to you, and you think it's right. That's what you feel. But we also know that there's a way that seems right to man, and its end is the way of death. Be careful about what you think. Make sure it's in accordance with the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures before you think. Read the Scriptures and apply that to your life, not your feelings. If you would turn to James chapter 1. James 1, we read here of Paul and how he thought what he was doing. Oh, excuse me, that's the next one. James 1, verse 19, it says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Notice here it says swift to hear and slow to speak. We need to open our ears to the teachings of Christ. We need to open our ears to the things that we hear, make sure they're in accordance with the Scriptures, and then apply it to our lives. Don't think. Hear and then think. Think about what you've heard. Think about what you read in the Scriptures and apply that to your life. If you would turn to Acts 26. Acts 26. Here we see Paul talking about his former life, and he felt what he was doing was right. Acts 26 and verse 9, it says, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." Paul thought he was doing right. Paul thought that he was doing God's bidding, doing what God wanted him to do. He thought he was pleasing to the Lord. And even though he felt that he was right, even though he felt with all his heart he was right, he was wrong in what he was doing. And we see that here. If you would turn back a couple of chapters to chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse 1. He admits that what he was doing was wrong, even though he felt what he was doing was right. "Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said," and this is verse 1 of 23, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." What Paul was doing was against the will of the Lord. He was persecuting Christians. He was doing everything contrary to Christ. Everything he was supposed to be doing, he was doing the opposite. If you would turn to chapter 24 of Acts, in verse 16, we see that he says, "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." We must know that what we feel and what we our desires and our feelings can be dangerous. We need to place our trust and our faith in the Lord and in His teaching. The wise man built his house on the rock, a foundation that is firm, that withstood the elements. If you would turn back to Matthew in chapter 7. Matthew 7, we'll read of that again. Verse 24 through 25, this is the wise man. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. We must hear the word and we must do the word. We must live our lives by the word. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." We find that in 1 John 5 and verse 4. We must have faith in Christ. We must build our life on that, our faith in Christ. And how do we have faith in Christ? We are to hear His words. If you would turn to Luke 8. Luke 8, verse 8. This is also talking about the parable of the sower. And we read in verse 8, "But the others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has an ear to hear, let him hear.'" Last time I checked, we have two ears and one mouth. I think we should listen twice as much as we talk. We should look to the Scriptures. We should look to Christ's teachings. And we should listen to those things and apply them to our lives and we should do the bidding of the Lord. In verse 18 it says, "Therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him." Take heed how you hear. Make sure you're listening to the words being spoken. Every Sunday that we listen to my dad preach, to others preach, when Brett came, make sure you listen to what he has to say, but make sure you search the scriptures to find it to be true. Because ultimately, we're not listening to his teachings, we're listening to Christ's teachings. And we need to do those things and apply them to our lives. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. We know that not everyone who calls to the Lord, who thinks they're doing right, is going to go to heaven. There will be few in heaven. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, we read, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" This is why it's important to hear, because these people, they didn't understand. Why aren't we going to heaven? We've prophesied in your name. We've done all these things. And now we're being punished for it. Well, it's because they did not fully understand. They had ignorance. They rebelled. They went through the motions. Maybe they had feelings that they lived their lives by instead of Christ's word. We need to take heed lest we fall into this category as well. Not everyone will go to heaven. Not everyone who cries out to the Lord will go to heaven, but he who does the will of the Father. If you would turn to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, in verse 9, it says, "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Christ died for all. He came to this life and he was perfect and sinless, and he died for all. Everyone who's ever lived, everyone who ever will live, everyone who's on this earth today, Christ died for. But not everyone will come to the knowledge of the truth. Not everyone will decide to follow Christ and obey him. It's a decision we have to make. It's a decision Joel made Tuesday night, and we're all so proud of him and his example that he set for us, that it's a decision he made. We can't live our lives by our parents' faith, by our older siblings' faith, by the preacher's faith. It must be our faith. It must be our faith in Christ, and we must show our faith by our works, and we must obey Christ and his words. The house of the righteous stands. In Proverbs, we read, "When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation." And also in chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, "The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand." On what are you building your life? Is it the cares and the pleasures of this life and this world? Is it worldliness? Or is it Christ's teachings, Christ's word, and your faith in Christ? If you have obeyed the gospel and you have striven away from that path, and you have fallen away from the work of a Christian, and you have not been doing what you're supposed to do, don't leave this place without making your life right with God. We don't know if we have tomorrow or not. We know we have tonight. If you have not obeyed the gospel, and you're sitting here right now thinking that you should, that you you believe Christ is the Son of God and that he died for you, and you believe that he is your Savior, don't leave this place without confessing him and without naming him and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Make sure you're building your life on that rock, on that foundation that is immovable and that will lead you a good life and one that is hopefully getting us to heaven one day. Please come forward if you have any spiritual need while we stand and sing the song of invitation.